Morning, Boker Tov. We're holding Erevin Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis. We're at the two dots about seven lines up from the bottom. Today's Daf, of course, Erevin Daf Samach Ches. Let's pick it up from the two dots around six lines up at the bottom of the page. Very Gishmak Daf regarding different stories. What the Hanhaga is when you have a Bris Mila and you need to bring hot water to a baby, with the topic we've touched on in the past. So it's a more. I mean, obviously, the whole Erevin relates to Shabbos, but it gets back to a lot of basic dinim of Shabbos, and a little more easier than some of the blot we had more recently. It was a child with hot water. Again, back in the times of the Gemara, certainly they felt that if not rinsing the baby off with warm water, with hot water, after the bris was a sakana. So there's a baby whose hot water had spilled out. The hot water to rinse the baby off after the bris had spilled out. So the question is, what to do to bring hot water to the baby? Amar lehu, Rabba, naisu chamimim megabai besa. Bring hot water from my house. Go to my house and bring hot water from my house. Rabba had a house in the same chutz where the bris was, and Rabba said, go bring out some hot water from the house. Amar lebaye valervinan. But we didn't have an erev. We didn't make an Erev in this chatzis. How can you bring out hot water for the house? Amalei nismich ashitav. Let us be semich ashitav. We'll be semich on. There was a shitav in the overall mavoi, in the overall area. Let's be semich on the shitav of the mavois to allow for carrying in this chatzis itself. Amalei halei shafina. Rabbi says that would be great if the mavoi had a shitav, so you could say that our chatzis, even though we didn't do our own private Erev, could rely on the overall shitav. But in this case, there was no sheet of advice either. So Rabbi said, let's ask a guy to bring hot water for the child. I'm Rabbi. I wanted to ask a question to Rabbi about this psak, about this din, but Rabbi Yosef didn't let me ask a question. When we brought Rabbi Yehuda in Yeshiva, he would tell us, when it comes to Deraisas, by Deraisas, we talk and ask questions, and then we do our actions, our practice. Meaning, if we have a question regarding an Issa Deraisa, we ask the question first, and then once we consider all the possible questions, then we act. Whereas with Darabanan, I wanted, Rabbi gave up sack. I wanted to ask a question on it, by the abundance of Dina Maisav Adam Maisavim Tufta. When it comes to our abundance, we first carry out the act, we do the, whatever the psak was, we do the act, and then we ask questions on it afterwards. Labasa Hachi Amalei, so Abaya wasn't able to ask a question. After Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya, after the action of the bringing the water out for the baby, to clean the baby, but I did go, then Rabbi Yosef Abaya knew what was the question. My boy Slays from Lamar, what did you want to ask Rabbi? Amalei to Tanya, so I said to him, we learned that the Braisa Hazoshvus, spritzing the pardum waters onto a person is a shvus. V'amir l'nachi shvus, spritzing the pardum waters onto a person is an Isser Rabbanon on Shabbos. Amir l'nachi, telling a guy to do an Isser for a Beth V'yid is also a Isser Rabbanon. Top of Samaches Ben Aleph, Mahaza shvus, v'nedechas Shabbos. Just like Hazah is a Shavuos and it's not Deicha Shabbos, so the Amir Nachi is a Shavuos, it shouldn't be Deicha Shabbos. So why would you just like you allow Hazah on Shabbos, right? And look at the top Rashi. Vafilu Maka Mitzvah, meaning with the connection I was making is even Maka Mitzvah, we're not allowing Hazah. We're not going. What's the Mitzvah? Going Lishchei Pischei. Even though it's needed for a Mitzvah, right? You're not going to allow a person to be over the Isser of Hazah on Shabbos. So too, why all of a sudden are we allowing the Isser of Mir La'akam in order to do Bris Mila on Shabbos? That was a biased question. I'm lucky. Shvus Ve'im Dechas Shabbos. Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yosef said back. Lei Shanilach. Do you not make a distinction between Shvus to Isbe Maisa? L'Shvus Lesbe Maisa. How can you not make a distinction between a Shvus where there's a Maisa involved to a Shvus where there's no Maisa involved? So on a simple level, what we're saying is that the act of the Hazah is the yid doing a maisa. Hazah is Isser Rabbanon. We're going to elaborate. Well, there's a bunch of things to speak out here to elaborate on in a minute. But Hazah is an Isser Rabbanon, which is being done by a yid. A yid's doing the action. Whereas Amir la'akim, all the yid's doing is a dibur. The guy is doing the action. So you cannot compare an Isser where the yid is doing an action, an Isser Rabbanon, to where the guy is doing an action. In an Isser Rabbanon where the yid's doing the action, and it's Makam Mitzvah, that's going to be still remain Aser, even though it's Makam Mitzvah. Whereas an Isser Rabbanon where the guy is doing the action, the yid's not doing the action, and it's Makam Mitzvah, then over there we would make permissible, like this case of Mila. Don't you make a little bit between the Shvus Tis Maisa, Shvus Tis Maisa, zil achim. Remember, Rabbi didn't tell the guy, go heat some water. He didn't tell the guy to go cook up water. He just told the guy to go bring the water. Now, that these last six words is a shay on the girsa, right? Some of the Rishayim don't have these words. Bach actually takes it out because, again, the main point is amira le akam is a deeper ba'alma, is not an action, whereas hazah itself is an action. Telling the guy to heat up water also is an action. So the simple taich is, again, on a simple level, it's they take out this girsa. The main point is that amira le akam is simply an amira as opposed to an action. Okay, now let's just go over the story again outside and speak out many different points. There's a whole bunch of very simple and clear points. A lot of it's stuff we had in the past on Shabbos, but points on the story. Again, there was a baby that had a bris milah, had hot water prepared. They held hot water. I say they held because I don't know if today we still believe the same, but they held a baby. If the baby is not rinsed off with hot water after a bris, it was a sakana. And therefore, Rab instructed them to get hot water. The hot water had spilled. He instructed them to get hot water from his house in the chutz. Rabbi said, but we didn't make an Erev. He said, how about a Shitav? We didn't make a Shitav either. So he said, okay, let a guy bring it. So Rabbi was about to ask, that should be a problem because elsewhere we don't allow Isra Rabbanan even like a mitzvah. Rabbi Yisuf said, don't ask the question. First, by Darabanans, we do the action, then we ask afterwards. By Darai says, we first ask, then do. We get, we make sure there's no issue before. But by Darabanans, we do not. We do the action first. And then Rabbi explained the question that by Azav a mitzvah for mitzvah purposes, we do not allow to be over Isra on Shabbos, and over here you're allowing. To that, our base have answered that the Hazah is only an Isra without a Maisa. Hazah is Isra with a Maisa, whereas over here we're doing an Isra of a Milakam, which is without a Maisa. So, point number one, the water spilled out. When did the water spill out? Did the water spill out before the bris or after the bris? We've spoken about this idea in the past. Did the water spill out before the bris or after this? Meaning, if the water spilled out after the bris, then it's pashy. You have a baby who you did a bris, his sakana, and the chari, if Rabbi wouldn't have had this eitz of having hot water in his house that could be brought in a rabbinic fashion, you would be able to be even a steraisa. If it's pikuach nefesh, if he holds a sakana, once the bris is done, if the water spilled out, then certainly you'd be able to get the water. Regardless, of course, there could still be conversation trying to minimize what is surum or being over, but the point is, ultimately, there would be nothing stopping getting the water and even heating the water, the chari, if it would be a real sakana. So did this water spill before the bris or after the bris? If it's before the bris, it's really a machlekes rishenim if you'd be allowed to do the bris. So these are machlekes Ramban and Balamar. Balamar holds that even though if you do a bris, the baby now be in a matzah sakana, and sakana would allow for chilul Shabbos, you're not allowed to go do a mitzvah, even a mitzvah, or go do an action that will put you in a matzah of sakana, which would then allow chilul Shabbos. Meaning you have to look at two steps down the line. You have to look at what the future holds. If doing A will lead to a matzah that I'm going to have to be mechal Shabbos, then I can't eat. Then even though A itself is mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to bismillah Shabbos. Not only is it a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. I can't do the mitzvah bismillah if A will lead to B, and B is that I have to be chal Shabbos. I can't do the mitzvah if it's going to lead me to a situation where I need to do a chal Shabbos, a separate chal Shabbos, after post the mitzvah in order to save the baby. That's the Baal Mar Shita. Ramban and other Shenim argue, and they say, Ramban says, that no, ain la adam el shaita. A person has to see what's in front of right now. Right now he has a mitzvah bris mila. The mitzvah bris mila is, yes, itself, deicha Shabbos. So right now he can do the mila. Once does the mila, we all know the facts, we all know the sequence. Once does the mila, it will lead to the fact that now he will need hot water. And if there's no hot water here, he'll have to be mechal Shabbos bring hot water. That's fine, right? Because after the mila, the baby will be in a matzah sakana, and by sakana, you deicha Shabbos. So Ramban says, you look at each situation at the current moment in the here and now, and right now in the here and now, there's a mitzvah of mila. Right now, mila itself is not doing any issa deraisa. It's a mitzvah to do mila on Shabbos. Even though after I do the mila, I will have to now be mechal Shabbos to bring hot water. That's a new situation that arises later. And b'shas, that situation arises, it's not chal Shabbos, it's mutter to go and bring the water. And therefore, there's a fundamental machlekes Ramban and Balamar, if we would carry out the bris mila, if it would lead to needing chal Shabbos later. Ramban says yes, and Balamar says no. So in our Gemara, they can have machlekes what the case is. This case by the water that spilled out by the baby, was it that the water spilled out before the mila started even? And Ramban would say yes, and you could still carry out the mila. That could have been the details of the maisa. Again, it was maisa shoya, but the details could have been it spilled out even before the mila, and they continued on with the mila because you don't have to stop. Whereas according to Baal Mar, the story must have been they had already performed the mila, and they were still trying to find the way to do it. Obviously, it was the seconds don't matter so much; otherwise, they would just be mechal Shabbos right away. But they were trying to find a way to do it. without being over Israel as much as possible, but you wouldn't have been able to do the Mila initially had the water spilled out prior. Okay, that's a discussion number one. Discussion number two, we said that by a drabanan of dinan v'hadashilinan. You do first, ask later. You act first by drabanan, ask later. By derisas, you have to ask first, make sure to clarify any potential issues and get them out of the way, and then you could do the action. By drabanan, you could act first and then ask later. So Rashi explains that it's not just some wild blanket rule. If you look at Rashi points out and says, only, we're talking about a case, but there, you already have a psak. You already have, like in this case, Rab already gave a psak. It wasn't like there's no psak. But there's a question, there's a side question on the psak. Over there we could say, act first and then ask afterwards. But in general, if you don't know something, just to start saying it's drop buttons, you can go to Kula and act first. Avada, it's not a license to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Okay, that's just an important qualification from Rashi. But further, Rashi says, what is drabanan of here? Why is this case of water, bringing water to the baby, a drabanan? So Rashi says, like the simple reading of the Gemara, the drabanan was, you're taking it, carrying out the water from the house, Rabba's house, into a chatzar, where there was no Erev Chatzeris. No Erev Chatzeris is an Issa drabanan. That's what Rashi explains, simple Taitra Storna, which is what we would jump to right away when we read the Gemara. Question is, why did Rashi say what the Gemara really refers to later, which is Amir Lakum? The Gemara later refers to the references that we're talking about here by the case of Amir Lakum, right? We're ultimately asking the guy to bring it. Amir Lakum is a Shvus, so why not focus on the fact that it's Amir Lakum? That's the Shvus Shabbai. Why not focus on that? Why are you focusing on the Shvus of Erev Chatzeris? The Shvus that it's a Erev Chatzeris is Drabanan. Why is Rashi focusing on that when the Gemara says it's Drabanan and therefore more lenient? Why don't you focus on the Drabanan, the fact that it's Amir Lakum, which is what the Gemara itself does address later? So really, this is it could be telling in the explanation of that Gemara later. When the Gemara says that there's a chiluk between the Gemara we quoted, the chiluk between Hazah, which is a Maisa, whereas Amir Lak, which is not a Maisa, how do we touch that Gemara? Rashi explains that the way we said it before, that is that Amir Lak is a Dibur Balma, whereas Hazah is an action, and therefore by a mitzvah. Amir La'akim, which is on a ma'isa, is automatic, you have a license, okay? Whereas Hazah is not. Now, by the way, it's actually a very negi halach la'maisa. The Bahag learns from this Gemara that when it comes to a mitzvah, Amir La'akim is mutter. You don't even need a double drabanan Amir La'akim on a shvus, like which is, by the way, how we paskin. You need shvus to shvus. A double drabanan but makam mitzvah is okay. So Amir La'akim on a drabanan, but makam mitzvah is okay. But one drabanan Amir La'akim alone would not be mutter just for makam mitzvah. That's how we hold, not like the Bahag, but the Bahag really has a nice basis on the simple reading of Agamara. Agamara seems to be saying that Amir La'akam alone, Amir La'akam is enough by a mitzvah. And that's a simple reading of the Gemara with Rashi. However, what we kind of just alluded to from the Rashash, and again, just to be clear, Taisfis and Gittin and Halach Lamaisa, we pass in that you need a shvus to shvus b'makam mitzvah. A double darabanam b'makam mitzvah is mutter, but we don't just run to Amir Lakam alone, one single darabanam b'makam mitzvah. But the riff in our Gemara learns that the guy himself is only doing this darabanam. That's the point. It's not just when we say that there's no maisa, we don't mean that it's Hazah, which is an act by the person himself, versus Amir Lakam, which is not an act, it's only a deeper. We mean what the guy is doing is not really a full maisa aver, which means, meaning he puts together the question the Rishash really asked on Rashi, why is he focused on Eruv HaChatzeris, why not on Amir La'akam? Rif learns that's really ultimately what the Gemara is saying. And the Gemara is saying that over here by Amir La'akam, the guy is vaitan not doing a deraisa. The guy is doing not doing a maisa aveir. The guy is doing an issa drabban of Eruv HaChatzeris. So by Hazah, where it's one drabbanan, so to speak, it's a direct maisa drabbanan, therefore it's a problem. It's not nitcha for a mitzvah on Shabbos. Whereas by the case of Amir La'akam to take the water out by Eruv HaChatzeris, which is an Isser Drabbanan itself, it's Amir La'akam on a Drabbanan, and therefore the Rift, that's what the Rift learns, that's how Gemara is Kula, that's our Gemara is Kula. And that, now if you go back to the wording of the Gemara, the gears that we took out fits very well. The Gemara says, because he didn't tell the guy to heat the water. Meaning, had he told the guy to heat the water, that would be a guy doing a Daraisa, that could be more problematic. A guy doing a Daraisa more problematic. Over here, the guy was just taking out existing hot water for Rabba's house. The guy himself is only doing a Darabanan, so it's Amir La'akam on a Darabanan. And therefore, that's why it's more lenient than Azah. That's how the Rift learns the Gemara, and that would answer the Rishash's question to Rashi. It would answer, but it would explain that Rashi, according to the Rif, it's very gishmak. Indeed, there are two drabbanans, and we're actually applying both of them in this Gemara for the leniency. Because if you have two drabbanans, that's why we're being more lenient in our Gemara. The Ritva actually says the third Svara. Again, so we have Rashi saying, the simple explanation for Rashi, which the Bahag takes as halacha l'maisa, is that when you have a mitzvah, and you have a derabanan of amir la'akam, because there's no dibur by the person. There's no maisa by the person. It's merely a dibur, not a problem. Whereas when you're doing hazah of paraduma waters, which is a maisa by the person, that is a problem. That is Rashi. Riff says, no, the reason why in our case it's more lenient is not just because it's amir la'akam, it's amir la'akam on a derabanan. That's why it's more lenient. That's the riff. Ritva says, Vaiter, it's Amir La'akam on something weaker, but not a Darabanan. Ritva goes back to your famous, you say we had many times in Shabbos. Shabbos focused very much on the Melacha of Yitzah, and we spoke about why does the first, it's in the Mishnah's list in Dafayin Gimel, it's last but Melacha. And all of a sudden in the Masechta, it's the first Mishnah, and it carries so much weight throughout the Masechta. And we spoke out one of the ideas why it's to a first at least, is because Yitzah is a Melacha Gerua. It's a weaker Melacha. You're simply moving something from place to, from location to location. You're not really affecting a change in the Chefs itself. You're simply switching locations. We called it many times, it came up a bunch. It is a malacha garua, says the Ritva. That's what the Mar means over here. Since the context of what we're talking about is at best haitza, and it's amir la'akam and haitza, which is malacha garua. The chiluk of the Ritva is similar to the Rif, but he's taking it a step further. The Rif was saying it's a guy's doing it's amir la'akam on a derabanan. The Ritva is saying he's okay to have it's amir la'akam on a deraisa, but it's a weaker deraisa. It's a malacha garua, and therefore that's why it's amir la'akam on a weaker deraisa, and therefore we're more lenient. As opposed to Hazah, which is also, again, it's Drabbanan, but it's a more direct, more Chamed Drabbanan, and therefore we're not going to be lenient. Now, what is this Drabbanan of Hazah? We're saying, be Mazan, Shabbos, Paradum waters, is this Drabbanan, and we don't relax it when it comes to even for a mitzvah, even to allow a person to go be Karm Pesach later that day. We're not makel on the Isser of Hazah. What is the Isser of Hazah? So in Pesach Medav Samachay, the Gemara seems to be mashma, the Isser of Hazah on Shabbos is what? Shema Yavirenu. For the same reasons why we didn't blow Shefer on the first day of Rosh Hashanah a couple weeks ago, and we didn't shake Lulav this year on the first day of Sukkot, the Mitzvah Deraisa of Sukkot, Lulav and Sukkot is the first day. We didn't shake Lulav or blow Shefer on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why did we miss out on those this year? Because they both fell on Shabbos. And Chazal Geizer, Rabbanim Geizer, that was scared if we allow Shefer, we allow Erevin. Lulav. We left Lulav on Shabbos. People are going to carry out the Lulav. Shem Yavrenu Dal Amos. They're going to go show the Chacham. They're going to carry out the Shefer Dal Amos on Shabbos. They're going to be Aver Hatzah. So same idea. Hazah on Shabbos is Asur. Sounds like from the Gemara. Because Shem Yavrenu on Shabbos, because Shem Yavrenu, you're going to go take it to someone, to Chacham. You're going to carry out Dal Amos in Rishus Rabbim. That is how the basic, the Mashmais of the Gemara is. However, Rashi, they're very interesting, says, which is the more I don't say commonly accepted, but this seems to be the approach of the Mefershim in the Gemara itself, not like the Mashmais of the Gemara, and that is that there's an issue of Tikkun Gavra. We know in general going to the mikveh on Shabbos when someone's tummy, going real tummy where he's fixing the Gavra is questionable. Shabbos Yom Tov, it's Tikkun Gavra. So too, spritzing the Paraduma waters on a person is being misakin the person. Being misakin the person is like a form of like Tikkun Mana, is fixing something is a problem on Shabbos. That's the issue Rashi explains. So Tzlach over there actually has a nice little chap. Tzlach says that we know about Paraduma waters, you spritz on day 3 and day 7. Not just not just once, you have to spritz 2 days. Tzlach wants to suggest that according to the first Sa'at, the Gemara's simple understanding that's a problem, Shem Yavirenu, you make up to carry, it would be a problem to spritz if Shabbos falls down on day 3 or Shabbos is day 7. Either way, it'd be an issue. But according to Rashi, that the issue is Tikkun Gavra, and according to the other Shem that go like Rashi, that the issue is Tikkun Gavra, perhaps, he doesn't say it certainly, but he declares that perhaps if it was day 3, it would be okay. Because on day 3, when you're spritzing, you're not fixing the gavra yet. The person still needs to have spritzing on day 7 to be fixed. Since he still needs to be spritzing on day 7 to become tar, so therefore, day 3, even though it's a part of the process, but he's not becoming tar from the spritzing alone, it wouldn't be called taking gavra, maybe it would be mutter, perhaps. Or not, he says, maybe since it's part of the process, it's also called taking gavra, but he just debates out loud that maybe you can have a chilek according to Rashi, you can spritz on day 3, even not spritzing on day 7. Now, one more point on this Gemara, and then we'll go weiter. There's so much packed into these 15 lines of this story, but there's a big yisaid, and we've discussed this in the past as well, that's borne out from this Gemara. Shechnar quotes a Rambam and says, if Ruvain, we quoted this not so long, I think we may have quoted it even in Erevin, but if Shechnar quotes a Rambam, if Ruvain sells a piece of meat to Shimon, and the piece of meat, we find that afterwards, wasn't kosher. It was presumably it was a mistake. Ruvain wasn't doing it on purpose, but bottom line is he sold Shimon a non-kosher piece of meat. So the halacha is simply, if the meat's around, Shimon can certainly go back to Ruvain, give the meat back, and get back his money. It's Mekach Tayas, get back the money, that's clear. If Shimon already ate the piece of meat, So he ate it. He finished it. He enjoyed it. He got a sustenance from it. Could he go back to Reuven and demand the money? So the Maisa was a Mekarta. You sold me non-kosher meat. I want my money back. I shouldn't have to pay for that. So he's allowed to go back. So Rambam makes a chilek whether the Isser on the meat is Issa Darabanan or Issa Daraisa. If the Isser on the meat was Issa Daraisa, then Reuven would have to give Shimon a refund for his money. If the Isser on the meat was Issa Darabanan, then Shimon would not be able to demand from Reuven a refund. He ate the meat. He enjoyed it. It was only us. I'm not minimizing, but only us and Darabanan, and he wouldn't be able to get a refund. That is what Psak from Rambam and Shulchan Aruch brings that Psak Lemaisa. The Shaila is, what's going on? What's the Pshat? Why? Issa Darabanan is also us. The bottom line is, we don't eat things that are us and Darabanan. It's also, in our lexicon, we call it everything treif. Treif is a very overused word, but we call it treif. It's tummy. It's not kosher. We call it treif. We don't eat that. So he should be able to demand the refund. It's a pashad. A person wouldn't want to pay money for something asam and drabanan either. Why is he not entitled to refund? What's the pshat? And Sifas explains that there's a fundamental difference between a shayig by deraisis and a shayig by drabanans. By deraisis, a person's over nisser, even though he's only over b'shegeg, he still requires a kapara. We find that by chivik krisus b'shegeg, you have to bring a chatas. Other cases, you have to bring, there's other cases also where a person being carbon alviyarid, carbon ashram sometimes. Person ashram goes by isser mezes as well. But the point is, even by shegegs, we find by deraisis a kapara is needed. He says by derabanans, when someone's over b'shegeg, a kapara is not needed at all. So if the guy ate the meat and he doesn't need a kapara, so what's his recourse? What's his right to ask back for his money? He ate the meat. He enjoyed it. Right? He feels guilty. There's no kapara needed. It's a shaygig on a dabanan, and therefore he's not able to go back to ask back for the money. Now, one of the rayas. Why am I speaking over here? Because one of the rayas that the Nesivis brings is from our Gemara. We see by our Gemara that by deraisis we say we ask questions, any possible questions first, even after there's a psak already, we ask questions, and then we act. But we don't act right away on the psak. Whereas by derabanan, once there's a psak, we act right away, and we only ask questions later. What's the basis of that? The basis relates to this, because by derabanan, even if somehow it comes out that there was some isser shaking that was performed, a shaking by derabanan doesn't need a kapara, so the stakes are much less drastic, the stakes are much less high, because by derabanan you have that leniency, so to speak, that when you're over only in bemezid, is it a problem? And it's a serious problem. We're not minimizing it, but being over a derabanan b'shoigig is not such an issue. That's why when we're lenient, and we see that from our Gemara, that's one of the sources. What is the pshataka? What's the chilik between the rest of derabanans? Why by shoigig by derabanan need a kapara? Shoigig by derabanan doesn't need a kapara at all. So the Meloyim Mishpah explains beautiful, and again, we have spoken to this in the past, that by the isser deraisa, this b'cheftzin isser, the Torah tells us this meat, let's say, is usser. If this meat is usser, whether I know it's usser or not, whether I was over on purpose or not, I ate a shtick isser. I was over the isser regardless. I need a kapara. My Khalila, I have this isser in my body. I definitely did the isser, whether I planned to or not. It's not the merida, the act of not listening to the mitzvah of Hashem that's the problem. The isser itself, whatever this isser is inherently a problem, and that requires a kapara. By drabanans, the entire mitzvah is to listen to drabanan. They don't create a cheftza of mitzvah, a cheftza of a shtick isser. Drabanan, the isser is, if I eat this piece of meat, I'm not listening to the Rabbanan by Nisr Rabbanan. It's not that the piece of meat is inherently usser. I'm not listening to Rabbanan. So when's that a problem? If I don't listen to Rabbanan b'meizid, it's a problem. If b'sheik I didn't know about it, there's no lack of listening to Rabbanan. I didn't, maybe should have been more knowledgeable, but there's no lack of listening to Rabbanan. He's not being over on again. What's the source that we have to listen to Rabbanans? Of course, it's derisive source. Leisasser. We spoke in the past. The Rabbanan themselves keep leisasser as a Rabbanan, not necessarily as a derisive. So that's why Rabbanans still have a status of Rabbanans, not derisive. But the point is, the source of heating Rabbanans is leisasser, not straying from their words. If a person didn't realize this is their words, so he's being over b'shegig, he's not really being over at all. It's not b'shegig, he's being over b'shegig. He's not being over. It's not considered that he's being over any isser. And therefore, by a derabanan b'shegig, kapar is not needed, whereas by a deraisa b'shegig, kapar is needed. Beautiful lamdash hasber from the Meluim Mishpat on the Nesivus's chilek. Radvaz, however, just to bring out the conflicting view, Radvaz learns that a chasar in Yedia, he says, even by Darabanan, a regular chasar and yediyah, a person does have to clarify before acting. You don't say, oh, we got a psak, and we can therefore go further. You have to clarify any chasar and yediyah, even by Darabanans. And really, Rashi is coming to a further. Rashi is coming to minimize the leniency of our Gemara. However, the Rav says you have to read Rashi to its fullest and understand that dafka when there's a clear psak given and you happen to have a question that you think you may have a kasha on the psak, there you don't necessarily have to wait. But you have to wait. But anything short of a clear psak, a person can't act upon. The point is, Radvaz is minimizing the leniency of our Gemara, in which case the first one speaking out that perhaps the Nesivus is a deal from the Gemara, that by Darabanans we can be more lenient, and by Darabanans, Shegi Darabanans don't require Kapara, maybe that deal is not as strong once you go with the Rashash's interpretation of our Gemara. Okay. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Amar le Rabbi Barchan and Labai. So back, we're still on this story now, but on the story, there's another nuance, another detail to learn from. Rabbi Barchan asked Abai a practical question. You told me there's a mavi over here, which you have Rabbis living there. Abai apparently was living there because Abai knew about whether these. Abai, by the way, was raised by Rabbah, not so sure that he was living in the same mavi, the same chutzar. He was raised. Remember, we spoke many times in the past. His parents passed away when he was young. He was an orphan, and Rabbah raised him. So Rabbah was Rabbah Nachmeni, and sometimes, according to some, Abai's name was Abai was called Nachmeni by Rabbah after Rabbah's own father. Okay, so Rabbah Chan asked Abai, I understand, you're in this mavi. Abaye. Rabbis in the Mavi. How could a Mavi? Mavi just make Trey Gavri Ravri, Krabbanon. A Mavi which has two giants like Abaye and Rabbah. Le Havili, Erev, Le Shitav, didn't have an Erev or Shitav done. Now, right away, Ritva says there's a source that a Talmud Chacham should dwell in a Chatzur that has an Erev. Right? Because why? What's just because the Talmud Chacham there, why do I have to have an Erev? It seems like it's a normal practice to prevent, it's normal for people to want to you carry from the house to the Chatzur and the like. And therefore, it's a practice that Talmud Chacham, Rabbanon should have is that in the houses in their chaseris, that there would be an Erev. Shulchan Aruch brings this lamaisa. Chum Sefer in a tshuva was asked, in tshuva tzadik test was asked, is the Erev a good thing or not a good thing? He says, first of all, I'll tell you just from logic, Erev is a good thing. Why? Because otherwise, people, mothers won't be able to get out, children won't be able to get out of the house, they'll be stuck at home all day. It's pasha that Erev is a good thing. Just logically, you don't even need sources. But if you need sources, he brings our Gemara, he brings a few sources, but it's short on time, but one of the sources he brings is our Gemara. We see clearly from our Gemara that Erev is a good thing. Okay, so how come you don't make an Erev? Amalei manavid. So Abai says back to him, what can we do? Meaning, malav orchei, for Rabbi to go around collecting the Erev, and specifically the Shita Mavayah, which is even more, going to the various Mavayahs, doesn't pass. Not that Rabbah was above doing a mitzvah. It's just the covet of the position. It would be unbecoming for the Gadol Dar to be walking around collecting erev money to be the gabay of erev foods, shita foods. The taka doesn't pass. I'm not to be the biggest sad. Abai says for me it does pass. I can do it, but I'm too busy learning. I'm too busy learning to collect it. Inu lamashkichi, the other people in the mavoi don't care enough to go collect it, to go do it. So what's the eitz? The eitz would really be that one person just should, namely Abai in this case, should provide on behalf of everyone else. We're not talking about huge amounts of food. Let him provide on behalf of everyone else the eriv and be zeicha to them. Says, if I would transfer the ownership of my bread and my basket to people of the mavoi, that's a problem. You know why? Because Rabbi said, I'm poor. If they were to ask to get a portion of the bread from me, I wouldn't be possible to give it to them because I need it. I can't afford to give it to them. So if they would ask me for it, I wouldn't be able to give it to them, right? Certainly not every week. I wouldn't be able to keep supplying the bread and give it to them. So you're right, I could put a loaf there, do it on behalf of everyone. They're not going to, likely, they're not going to ask me for it, so I'll be able to sustain myself with it. But since if they would ask me for it, I would not be able to give it to them on a weekly basis. They wouldn't be able to take from me because I can't afford to provide extra loaves of bread for the era, for the sheet of every single week. So what happens? That's not a good shitif. The Tanya was learned in a brisa. If one of the mavi requested from the wine of the oil that was of the shitif, he wanted to take a portion of it, and they don't give it to him. But the shitif, that's mevatel the shitif. The shitif is no good. It ruins it. It's got to be that everyone has a joint. Food, oil, wine, bread together that everyone could partake in it. If they can't partake, it's a fake. It doesn't work. The sheet doesn't work. So in my case, it wouldn't work. So that's not an option either. V'nikni maravisa dechala v'chavita. So Rabbi Chana said once, but there's one thing I know you do have a lot of. Abaye, you called Mar, my master, you have a lot of vinegar in your barrels. That's one thing you have a lot of. Why don't you transfer ownership of a ravisa of vinegar to the people of the Mavi and use that? Tanya, so Abai says that's not an option. Why? Because you're right, I do have in storage lots of vinegar, but you cannot be makna from storage and use that for your Erev. Tanya, emishat from Eitzer, you can't make an shituf from that which is in the Eitzer. Why? Because that which is in the Eitzer, you don't have clear designation as to what's being designated for the shituf and what's not. And therefore, later when you take out food, you may come to be take for that which is supposed to be the shituf. It's not clear. Essentially, it gets into a problem of breira. For Tanya, yes, the Gemara, Mishtat, when we learned elsewhere, you could make a shituf, which is really, we just spoke out the answer. It's Mitalian breira. It says, Amarveshaya, Lekasha, Habeshvayim, Habesil. It really depends on the breira. You're right. If you hold a breira, then not a problem. You could make a shituf with that which is stored in Eitzer. And that's Basil Shita. According to Beshamid, you don't hold a breira, then you cannot make a shituf with that which is stored in that which is kept in storage, because you have to come out the Breira. If you don't hold the Breira, it's not going to work. We did have a discussion earlier this afternoon. I think we said it's not clear we paskin, but by the Rabbanans, we do rely on Breira, and by the Rashi's, we don't. So the Chur over here, we would rely on Breira, ultimately, because it's Rabbanan. Okay, but Abaye apparently was not willing to rely on Breira. The Tan, we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah we've had in the past. If you have a mace in a house, we know a mace in a house creates tum in the house. Clearly, whatever's under the same roof, certainly, but under the same roof as the mace gets tumas oil. But then there's this other question. The mace ultimately is going to be taken out of the house. And whichever doorway the mace is supposed to come out of, the Rashi and Beitza elaborates, explains as a din of soif tumalatzes. The tum is destined to come out of this door. A door, it's one of the doors, and whichever door it has to come out of, that door, there is tumma going to be, there's already tumma there now, because of the future, again, it's Allah HaMash B'Sinai, and therefore, if you have kalim in the doorway, even though it's outside the house, but it's in the doorway, in the threshold, it'll also be tummy. Now, until there's a defined doorway that the mace is coming out of, then kalim in all doorways that the mace can potentially come out of are going to be tummy. All kalim in all doorways are going to be tummy, says the Mishnah. If you have a mace in the house and there's many doorways, all the doors that are closed, let's say all the doors are closed, they're all tummy because it's possible for the mace to come out equally from any one of these doors. But if one of the doors was open, meaning in order for the mace to come out, sometimes you have to broaden the doorway, you have to open up wider. If you designated one door as clearly the door that the mace is going to come out of, now going forward, L'chayra, that's the simple taich. Going forward, that door is going to be one that's tummy. The kulam tayrim, and the rest of the doors will become tar. That door becomes one that's tummy because again, it's safe to melasses. And that, by designating this door, it saves the other door. So if kalim are brought now to the other doors, they'll be fine because this door was already singled out as the door that the mace is going to be removed from. Okay. The Mishnah continues, says, chishev lohitzi bechamam. What if the person had in mind the machshava that he's going to move the mace from a specific doorway? What if through a window that's already at least four tvachim? Four tvachim, second time we have this in 2 days, four tvachim and four tvachim is a shear of an exit. So you have a window which he had in mind that he's going to take the mace out of that window at least. So matzal kol psachim kulam. That machshava alone is enough to save the other doors because since he had a machshava, he now is establishing that's the exit and the other doors are going to be fine. B'sham Emer, no. B'sham Emer, he qualifies. Who shechishiv ashtel yamza mace. B'sham Emer, after shabbos a mace. B'sham Emer says it only works if he had the machshava before the mace died. He had the machshava that theoretically, not necessarily about thinking about this guy dying, but if this guy dies or someone else dies, that's my exit. Once he had the machshava before the guy dies, that becomes the designated exit. And therefore, it saves the doorways. Beis Hillel says no. Even if you had the machshava after the guy died, so it comes out as the kalim were by these other doorways, and the other doorways were potentially the exits for this mace. If he has a machshava to specify this one doorway is the door, it's like a brayer huvra adavra. This is always meant to be the door, and the kalim though by the other doorways will lose that tumma that they were going to get. They no longer have tumma because it's huvra adavra. Again, it's saying brayer huvra adavra that these kalim were never destined to become tummy in the first place because tumma was never safe lutzes from those other doorways because it was always designated. It was always destined to go out of the door or the window that this guy had a machshava on, even though the machshava came later. That's classic brayer. So according to Beis Hillel, we say brayer, which is bring it back to our case, by the Eitzer, you could use the vinegar and the Eitzer for your Shitav, whereas according to Beshamah, you cannot use the vinegar and the Eitzer for the Shitav, so that's Abaye was being Machmer for Beshamah, Abaye's Machmer for Beshamah, therefore you didn't want to use that as an option either. Next story. How you know, could stop it? We have a few of these stories, but same general stories, but different discussions. Who you know, could stop it? There's an 8-day-old baby that the hot water spilled out. Amul Rava said, we have another option. Let's ask the mother. Remember, the mother, the first 7 days after giving birth, is a Chayla Shesh Pesakana. From day 8 to day 30, she's a chayla she'ein besakana, but she's called a chayla she'ein besakana. She has status of a chayla. A chayla she'ein besakana, you mechal Shabbos, you do anything what they need. A chayla she'ein besakana, halach is, you cannot mechal Shabbos, directly, because it's no sakana here, but amir la'akim is mutter, drabon is a mutter. So here, let's ask her if she needs hot water. If she needs hot water, then nachim le'nachri agavime, the nachri will heat up some water, agav the, For the child, agav the mother will heat up water and we'll have water for the baby that they just did the mila. But the mother's sitting and eating dates. She's eating dates. Apparently, that was a sign. If she's sitting eating cold dates, she's in great shape. Baruch Hashem. In this again, there's a maestraya. They had this bris. The mother's in great shape. She doesn't need the hot water. If she doesn't need hot water, how could you heat it up for her and do extra, do like a rebbe b'shurim for the baby? She herself doesn't need hot water. Amalei, Amer Tnuva Ba'amu Dinakala. No, maybe she's just like, her body's in shock. She doesn't even realize how weak her body is. Just because she's doing something which normally more healthy people do, it doesn't mean she's really fine. She only gave birth 8 days ago, and therefore we can still give her an automatic status of a Chalei Shem HaSakana, and we can heat up water for her. And once we do that, we can do more for the baby. There was a baby that, again, hot water spilled out. Amu Rava, Rava said, Rava was living in next to a chatzar, and Rava had hot water in his chatzar that was next to us. So we have chatzar next to chatzar. We're going to get back into the conversation of yesterday, or 2 days ago's daf, of Bittul Rishus Mechazal Chatzar. So Rava said as follows, move my kalim for me from the men's area in my house to the women's area. We'll see, because he wanted to make a hecker. I'll go and stay there the rest of Shabbos. I'll stay there. And I'm going to relinquish my rights to the Chatzar. So here's the point. By relinquishing his rights in the Chatzar, so it makes it now that the people who are able to use the area in the Chatzar are the other B'nai Chatzar. The other B'nai Chatzar can use this, the area in between the houses in the Chatzar's area to carry the water. And even though there was no air of there, he's being Mevatel Rishus. Now Rabbi specifically made a hecker, when he's Mevatel Rishus, then he shouldn't be over on his Bittul Rishus, because if he's over his Bittul Rishus, it messes up the whole Bittul Rishus. So he made a hecker that he won't be over on it. So I'm leaving the Rav of Amr Shmuel, ain't Bittul Rishus b'chatzar chatzar. What do you mean? But then we have a discussion. Shmuel says, you're being Mevatel Rishus in one chatzar, and you want to use that to be able to bring water to the chatzar next door. Bittul Rishus doesn't work for chatzar. Amalei Rav says, yeah, that's if you like Shmuel. Anna, Rabbi Yechon's feel, Ali Rabbi Yechon, who we had again, who argued with Shmuel over there in 2 days ago, where he said that I hold Amr Yesh Bittul b'chatzar chatzar, where Bittul is okay for chatzar chatzar, and therefore that's okay. In fact, Yamar of Eli Savla Mal Shmuel, Ravina asked, and if you don't know the Shmuel, so then why were you busy? Nesiv Mar Beduchte v'Nevat Leiladei. Why did you have to switch your quarters, go to the women's quarters, move your kelim there? Why have to be busy with all this? Why don't you stay where you are and be mevatel Yerushas in order that the people of the Chatzah can carry the water out? V'Nehadru Inu Nevat Leilamar, and then let them go back afterwards and be mevatel back to you. The question here is that according to Shmuel, we're going to have the next line. Shmuel holds that once you do a bittel, let's say Rav is mevatel, in this case Rav was mevatel Yerushas to the other people. Once they do, they carry the water they need. It. So could they go now and be mevatel back? Could they give back to Rav, so to speak, his bittel? According to Shmuel, you can't do that. But Rav holds you can. So the Ravina is really making an assumption. Ravina is saying that just like you don't hold the Shmuel, you hold the mevatel mechatz lechatzer. You hold like a beichon, not like Shmuel. You're allowed to be mevatel from one chatz to another chatzer. Presumably, you also hold like this other Shita that argues of Shmuel, named like the Shita of Rav, that once you're mevatel, even though you're mevatel, you could go back and undo the bittel, they can give it back to you, they can give you back your shoes afterwards. Shmuel holds you can't do that, Rav holds you can. If that's the case, why did you have to move your chafetz and be so busy with making sure you stick to the bittel the rest of Shabbos? Just you mevatel, get the water to the baby, and then let them be mevatel shoes back to you, and everything should be fine, like Rav Shita. So that says, Rav, simple answer, Ana b'hakish Shmuel's relay. I hold like this, like I do hold like Shmuel. Like Abi mevatel mechatz lechatzer, I attack a hold like Rabbi Yechonah, not like Shmuel. But like Abi this din, I hold like, I don't hold like Rav, I hold the chumra like Shmuel, that you cannot be cannot be mevatel, and then have the mevatel return it back to you with another bittel. In fact, the Mer, 1 second, the Mer assumes it wasn't just a question that just goes, you hold like Shmuel here, you hold like Shmuel there. Ravina wasn't asking a random question. Ravina assumed that it's totally zebazeh. The Lav Chataim, Ravina says, aren't these two dinim based one on the other? Meaning, my time in mevatel and v'chayz mevatel, why does Shmuel say you cannot be mevatel and then be chayz mevatel again? Lav Meshav, the Kiva, the Batel, Shus say, estalik leim hach legarmi. By being mevatel or Shus, he's totally made himself out of the chatzer. V'avle keben chatzer acheres. And he's like, he's part from a different chatzar. Beautiful svara. Remember, Shmuel is one that says, you cannot be mevatel rishus. If I'm from chatzar A and people of chatzar B, I can't be mevatel my rights in the rishus from chatzar A to people of chatzar B. It's a separate chatzar. So isn't that the basis for Shmuel's other din of ein chayz and mevatel chayz mevatelin? Because once I'm mevatel, even if it's only one chatzar, once I'm mevatel, I become like I'm not part of the chatzar. Once I'm not part of the chatzar, for them to be mevatel back to me is like they're being mevatel back to a person who's not part of the chatzar, right? Ein mevatel mechatz lechatzar. Isn't Shmuel's second din of ein mevatel mechatz mevatelin based on his first din? And if you don't hold to the first din, you hold to Rabbi Yechonah that you could be mevatel from chatz lechatzar. So therefore, automatically, you're not going to be bothered by being mevatel chayz mevatel. That was Ravina's question. He thought it was totally zebezeh. It's not stam two members of Shmuel that happened to be the same author. And if Rav does hold the one, Rav does hold hold of the other. If he doesn't hold the first one, the second one wouldn't apply because the Tali Zebazeh, beautiful lamdas, says, therefore, you who doesn't hold the Shmuel, you should be able to be Vatel. Answers Rava. Rava says, no, you're making a mistake. No, it's a separate idea. A person who's part of a Chatzar is Mevatel Rishus, he's still part of that Chatzar. So even if I hold the kid Mevatel Rishus from Chatzar to Chatzar, he's still part of that Chatzar. He still has a house in the Chatzar, and he just doesn't have the rights to the Chatzar itself. He still owns the house there, and therefore, the people being Mevatel mevatel to him back his rights would really technically not be an issue of being mevatel from chatzar to chatzar. From that perspective, it would be fine. The reason why I can't do it is because the words of the rabbanon become chukuf v'tluya. The whole like a joke. The whole din of the rabbanon of making an heir, of setting up properly, it's chukuf v'tluya. I'm mevatel to you, carry what you need, and then a minute later you're mevatel to me. It's going to make a joke, little story. That's the issue. That's what Shmuel's problem was. It's not related to his other shita. So therefore, Rava could say, I hold of Shmuel's concern. Rav's not concerned about this. I hold of Shmuel's concern of chukuf v'tluya, of being a joke. And therefore, I hold you cannot go mevatel and then mevatel again back to the person. That's not an option. But even though I don't hold, I disagree with Shmuel. I hold you could be mevatel from one shus to another shus, one chutz another chutzer, and that's why in this case you're able to bring the water to the baby. But to mevatel it back, that Rav hold cannot have been done. Gufa. Rav Amar mevatel v'chayz mevatlin. Shmuel Rav says mevatel v'chayz mevatlin, and Shmuel says ain mevatel v'chayz mevatlin. We cannot mevatel v'chayz mevatlin. So from here to the rest of the Amid, we're going to be focused. I mean, to where we're going to finish at least, we're going to be focused on whether or not this machlokes Rav Shmuel is already been argued by the Tanoim. Rav says you can go back and relinquish the relinquishment, right? He was mevatel, and then to the rest of the people, and they can mevatel back to him. Shmuel says he cannot do that. Lema Rav Shmuel looked at Rabban and Rabbi Blazer commitfully. Says the Mer suggests that maybe Rav Shmuel arguing a machlekes between the Rabban and Blazer. The Rav the Amar Krabbanan. Rav holds like the Rabbanan. Ushmuel, what's the shayla? The shayla is when a person is mevatel as rishus in the chatzer, is he also being mevatel as rishus in his house? Is he being mevatel as rishus completely, or no? And he's completely removed from the chutzner, or he's only mevatel rishus from the chutzner itself and not from the house. So Rav holds kerabanan. Rav holds like the rabbanan that a person who is mevatel rishus in the chutzner is not mevatel rishus in the house itself. He only gave rishus to the chutzner. He still retains his rights in the house, and therefore makes sense that they can be mevatel back to him. Afterwards, they can return back to him the rights of the chutzner because he's still a member over here. He still has a house. Ushmuel that says he can't. Maybe the Amar Kerbalazer. He holds like Kerbalazer. One is mevatel rishus in the chutzner. He's also being mevatel rishus in the house. Which, if you remember, we had this discussion back. I think it was Daf Chavav. Hey, we had a discussion earlier. The logic behind it was. Yes, Rashi brings Daf Chavav and Beis. The logic behind this machlokes was: does a person live in a house without a chutzner? Is a person normal to have a house without a chutzner? According to Shmuel, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a person would not have a house without a chutzner. Therefore, when he's mevatel his rights in the chutzner, it's as if he's saying, "I'm giving up my rights in the house as well." And therefore, it wouldn't pass to be mevatel back to him. He's out of the chutzner totally. That's how we want to say that machlokes is Shmuel goes like a blazer and the Rabbanan go like Rav. Amalek Rav, the Mara says, each one, Rav and Shmuel, can make themselves fit like the opposite Tana. Amalek Rav, Anadam Rafi Rabbi Eliezer, I can go Rabbi Eliezer as well. I can go Rabbi Eliezer Hassam, Hamvatu Shah Rishus Base Bittel, Mishun Debais Loy Chatz, that Dairin should kind of be just spoke out. Rav could say, no. Rabbi Eliezer says when a person Vatos Chatz, he also gave up his house because people don't want to have houses, which again was a hard for to fully grasp on that, especially us city people. People live often in apartments that have no, that have very little chutzner, right? Or people live in houses with small gardens, right? To us to say ain't bias play chutzner. Again, we have bigger houses, big living areas, is a little bit surprising to us. But there's a concept that a person wouldn't have a house without a chutzner. It doesn't it's not normal. And therefore when you mevatel the chutzner, you automatically mevatel the house with it. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says Rav. But over here Rav Elinyan Staluke, is he saying that he's relinquishing himself totally to the extent that he can't get his rights back? Meaning what he's trying to say is that because he's mevatel his rights in the chutzner, automatically the house goes with, and once the house goes with, he's totally removed from the chutzner, and therefore he can't mevatel back to him. No. That last step, he's relinquishing his rights, he's allowing the Elam to use the chutzner, which is also relinquishing his rights to the house, which would let the other people use his house. They'd be able to go to his house. That's part of it. But he's not relinquishing his rights to the extent that he's not part of the chutzner anymore. He's still a member of the chutzner. That's therefore you'd be able to mevatel back to him. That's Rav Shita, even in Rebbe Eliezer. He says, I can even go to Rebbe Eliezer. And vice versa, the Rabbanan say, Shmuel says, I can even go to Rabbanan. Shmuel Amar, Anadam Rafil Rabbanan, Azkan Rabban Hassam over there, Elamai de Batal, the chutzner which is mevatel is done. The house which he was mevatel is not done. House he's not relinquishing, the chutzner he was relinquishing. But what he's mevatel himself from, namely in that case the chutzner, it's a permanent. He was mevatel himself for that full Shabbos, not to be able to get back rishus if mevatel back to him. And therefore, even the Rabbanan perhaps would agree that you cannot be mevatel back to the guy who was mevatel his chutzner. Like Shmuel. So again, Rav Shmuel is saying, Rav Shmuel could tell us that the Machlekes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, really play no role in their Machlekes. They each can go like both Tanoim. The Mara tries again to link it to a Machlekes Tanoim. Says Amar Amrav Acha Barchana Amrav Sheshes, Kitanoi, let us see the Machlekes Rav Shmuel is like the following Tanoim. Mishas Roshusai, one who gave his rishus, he gave up his rights, veitzia, and then he carried out the chutzner. So he gave up his rights in the chutzner, and then he went and carried anyway. Once he did it, whether he did it by purpose or by accident, he restricts the rest of the people because he was mevatel his bittel. He clearly is undoing his bittel, divrei meir. You never know. When he did it on purpose, that he asers, because that's clearly showing he's undoing his bittel. Whereas b'shegin aser, if he did b'shegin, he gave up his rishus, he shouldn't be carrying, he did it by accident, it's not going to ruin his bittel rishus, it still works for other people. Now what's the machlokes? It's my lafa kamivkli. What's the machlekes? Marsam vandam chesam vandan. Isn't the machlekes whether you can undo a bittel? Let's go for the machlekes. The marsaver. Now, after one clear point, everyone clearly agrees, both our mayor and our Buda, that when the guy did it b'mezid, when the person carried b'mezid, he's clearly being mevatel. In that case, and Rashi speaks out, in that case, everyone agrees you could undo a bittel rishus when the person who gave up, he relinquished his rights, shows b'mezid, he's not really abiding by it, he's not really giving up his rights, then that case for sure ruins it, that everyone agrees. The machlekes is by the case of shaygig. And we want to say the machlekes by shaygig is dependent on whether the old bittel could be undone, whether after mevatel to you, you can go and the chetchil be mevatel back to me. That's our mayor sheet, and therefore, even though it was done b'sheigig, it's like the bittul was done and bittul was then undone, and therefore you can no longer carry in this chutzer. Rabbi the holds that you can't be vatal chayz vatal, and therefore since it's done b'sheigig, it still sticks. The original bittul sticks. Gemara says again, Amrav tach Rav Acha bar Tachlifin Shrei Rava Loi. Again, you can deflect that these machlekes are not talis abezet. Why? The Kulei Alma tell you, everyone agrees. Aim vatal chayz vatal, you can't be vatal chayz vatal. Everyone agrees. Let's say like the side of Shmuel that you can't go and be chayz and bittul. Remember, we took for granted that mezid messes up the bittel and messes up the ability to carry. So do we knash shaygig and treat like a mezid? Marsav a kansu shaygig to mezid. Marsav a lay kansu shaygig to mezid. Rav Ashi Yom, Rav Ashi says, Rav Shmuel booked the Rav Lezak Rabbanu Kamifki. Rav Ashi's point says he goes back to our initial connection. Remember, the first Gemara first tried to connect Rav Shmuel to Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan. The Gemara reflected it. They said both Rav Shmuel can feel like both. Then we went to try to connect it to this machlokes between their mayor. So Rav Ashi goes back and says, no, that original connection is a good connection. The connection between Rav and Shmuel is being like Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan, that Rav fits like the Rabbanan, and Shmuel fits like Rabbi Lezer is a good fit, and Rav Ashi learned that Taka, Machlekes Anayim, and Machlekes Merim are the same Machlekes. Let's pause over here and pick it up from here on